So today we're going to talk about serving a God of new beginnings and second chances. Okay? This is an amazing attribute of God that we don't quite think about all the time. You know, many times we shy away because we feel guilty about our own decisions that we make, and we get so beat down through going through the motions of pushing and failing and pushing and failing and making it a little bit and falling over. And sometimes our conscience talks to us and tells us, you know, you ever hear the little voice on the inside say, you know, you're not good enough for this, you're not good enough for that, you're not going to make it, you're not going to succeed. But that's really just the devil and a lack of will to continue to succeed, because we need to understand that God is patient, and that we are just fragile beings. Second Peter, he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count to slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And if you think about this, and you really just sit and kind of take this in, you got to think to yourself, if I look at my track record of the last 6 months and put everything that I've done on the table, and how much that affects me when I think today, how many mistakes have I made? How many things have I done? 6 years, 6 months, 6 days, how much baggage am I carrying with me? Now, if I'm in Christ right now, I shouldn't have any of that baggage. But in reality, even guys that walk a good walk make mistakes. And then we think to ourselves, we're going to get around it. We're going to get back to that. We're going to address that. But we carry that baggage. And that baggage of those mistakes affect our decisions and the direction that we're going to go. But the Lord's attitude towards that, which in our mind at that time is, I'm going to run away from the Lord. I'm going to run away from my mentor. I don't want to see my mentor. I don't want my mentor to see me like this. I want my pastor to see me like this. I sure don't want God to look at me like this. Right? On the inside of our minds, we kind of hide when we know that we're in the wrong. We kind of hide when we're not getting it right. But God's mentality is that he's not slow about his promise, as some count to slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And Luke, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. This is a powerful message for Jesus to be talking to Simon right here, and thinking that he's going to fail, knowing that he's going to fail, but knowing that failure created strength in him, knowing that God's patience through his failure created strength in him. Now think about this. God was aware of the fact that he was going to fall. He knew he was going to fall, just like he knew I was going to fall, just like he knew you were going to fall, you were going to fall, you were going to fall. How many times have we met? No, has anybody in this room not made a mistake before? Is anybody flawless in this room? Right? But see, Jesus knew that was going to happen, right? He knew it was going to happen, but he was patient, right? So, and he says to him, and I like this part, he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So what do I take from that? I take from this. If God's patient enough to continue to work with me, even though I'm slow to my progress in my faith, what he asks of me is to continue to share his love to everyone else. So that I can be confident that even though I made a mistake 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it may be, if I've come to the table with that and I put it out there, that if I can be cleansed of that guilt, right? Because it's really the guilt that continues to drive us. It's the guilt that continues to afflict us. So if he can remove that for me, knowing that I'm struggling, and he says, strengthen my brother. See, he reached out to you again, and what do I do? In Isaiah 57, he says, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and contrite, can't contend forever, for the spirit of the breath would grow faint. But of his iniquity and unjust gain, I was angry and I struck him and I hid my face. And he went on turning in the way of his heart. And I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating praise on his lips. Peace, I will lead him. Now look at this situation that happened right here. God says that he goes around, floats around, specifically to test the hearts of the men. Amen? Think about this for a minute. That God's Spirit is going around to revive the lowly and contrite. A, what does that tell me? Number one, if I'm still full of pride, I'm not where I need to be today. If I'm still too tough to talk about my faith, if I'm still too tough to bring it to the table, if I'm not real enough to talk to God about what's going on with me, then I need to step back and get that right. Because he says that the Spirit searches for the lowly and contrite. It doesn't necessarily mean that I have to be, you know, prostrated on the ground in tears. But I can be aware of the decisions and the mistakes that I made. I can be aware of where I've been. A contrite heart is a broken heart, is a broken spirit, is a humble mentality. In that, I can understand where I've been and where I'm going and where I need to go. So that I'm looking for the Lord to continue to work in my life too. And I know that I need him. Amen? But he says that he's searching to revive the lowly and contrite so that God couldn't contend with us forever for our mistakes, or we would grow faint, right? We would fail. Because God has eternity to decide. We have this much time, and not one of us in this room can guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. We think we will be, we want to be, right? But the scripture says, God willing, let it be so. Because at the end of the day, even the guy that had the most money said, I'm going to put it up here. I'll be all right. I'm all set. Now what am I going to do with all my good money? And he said, you fool, your soul will be required of you this evening. Right? And he thought he had him, right? He had probably had corporations in today's, you know, day and age. He was probably, you know, CEFO of a large corporation. He had nothing but banks. So he's like, okay, now I'm going to chill. I'm just going to just hang out with my money for a minute. Right? And God said, well, that was your time. We got to think about that. But he says that he can't contend forever, or our breath will grow faint. But he says, because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and I struck him and I hid my face and I was angry. And he went on turning in the way of his heart. Can anyone relate to that? I can tell you decades of time that I fit into this passageway where I knew in the back of my mind, God was pricking my heart. Maybe from my grandma, maybe from my church, maybe from a friend. God was working on me, but I kept on turning in the way of my heart. And I knew that I was doing it because I wanted to go that direction. Right? And he says, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the praise on his lips. Peace, I will lead him. Peace, I will give to him. Now, you think about God. Now, understand in this verse, we can't think about Old Testament God. We can't, you know, and this is the Old Testament. It's Isaiah. And he's saying that I'm going to be patient with you. If your heart's in the right place, if your mind's in the right place, if your will's in the right place, and that's with God, I'm going to work with you. In Ephesians, he says, but God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. So it's by grace that you are saved. It's unmerited favor. And that's the whole thing about the idea of this, is that there's nothing that I could do specifically to earn my faith. There's nothing I could do specifically to achieve the greatness of God other than just simply accept him. You know? And that makes us all equal. That makes, no matter what money you got, what ride you got, what house you got, what girl, what man, whatever it is you got, equal in the eyes of God. There's not one of us in this room more important to God than another. He's rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us even when we were dead. Now think about that in your life. How many times have you guys showed love when somebody showed you hate? That's hard to do, isn't it? I got a teenager. You know, I just want to choke them out sometimes. You know what I mean? They're crazy. But that's family. But what about a stranger? What if a stranger came up to you guys sideways right now? You going to be able to show the love of God? But that's what God's saying. He said, you've been sideways to me for how many years now? And I've been loving you this whole time. Amen? Think about that. He loved me when I hated him. He loved you when you didn't know him. That's a powerful message. It says that it's unmerited favor, and I love that idea. See, because the way that it fits is like this. I do what I want to do for God out of the love that God has for me because I want him to know that I love him back. Amen? Not because I'm earning my way to heaven. Not because I'm a good person. Not because I need, you know, camaraderie or whatever it may be, praises from other people. I do what I want to do for God because he has done so much for me. That's where the work comes in. That's where the effort comes in. It's to share, really. It's to share all the greatness of God that he's given to us individually. Not to earn anything. The people that sit in front and dress nice and point at everybody else are more far off than the people that don't show up. Amen? Now you got to think about faith and just analyze it for yourself and say, what is it saying to me? What does the scripture really say to me? In Jonah, he says, when we received the word, all of Nineveh humbled, repented, became obedient, fasted, just in case God would change his mind. And God saw their deeds, and he did. And Romans 9:5 said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. So therefore, we should be thankful. Because if we're here today, if there was a calling in each one of us today that pricked us to encourage us to come to the message to become an environment conducive to spiritual growth, then God is working on us today. Amen? I guarantee half of us didn't want to come. I guarantee some of us didn't feel like we wanted to come even though we wanted to come. But at the end of the day, there's something inside of us being pricked by God that brought us here. There's a reason. There's no such thing as coincidences. And when you look at this, God specifically states in the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And that's amazing to think that me being completely undeserved of any of it, period, guarantee it. You don't have to get out the paperwork, but I can assure you that I deserve nothing from God. Understand that it is only his mercy that has brought us to this point. You know, it's just such an amazing thing for God to see us as equals and to be a part of that calling for the greater good of Christ. It's truly an honor to have the opportunity to accept a relationship with God. Because this tells me that some people will not have the opportunity. In Ecclesiastes, he says, remember him before the silver cord is broken, the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the wheel is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. That's hardcore. And I think about how many years of my own life that I went just pushing him back, pushing him back, pushing him back, pushing him back. And then finally, right now, we may be on... Could be in the grand scheme of time, such a small period of time if it's only been 6-8 years or whatever it's been now. But I know for a fact that I live with many of my friends who are no longer here today that passed away without a relationship with God. And I think about that, and I think about this verse, and he says, remember him before the silver cord is broken. I'm going to skip down to the other part. He says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. So I ask myself, is it too late today? Is it too late for me today? Is it too late for you today? You know, I mean, these are the things that we got to start to think about. How serious am I going to get with my faith? Am I going to sit here on the fence and continue to use this retirement program where I can continue to think that I'm a better person? Or am I going to accept the fact that I may not be a very likable person, but I'm moving towards Christ and I see a future? There's light at the end of the tunnel. Amen? I can assure you there was a point in my life that I may not have been a very likable person due to the fact that I just lived from where I came from. But God, being rich in His mercy, patient towards us, not wishing for any to perish, continue to work in my life, continue to work in any of your lives. Can anybody attest to progress in their life since they've come to faith? Can they see it? Yes or no? And so there's a testament to that. And when you're talking about, this is a powerful verse, to remember Him before the silver cord is broken, the golden bowl is crushed, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now I can tell you this, I don't want that for any of my family anymore, right? I don't want that for any of my friends, because this is real. See, in my mind, as we continue to walk, we think that we have this plethora of future that we can continue to jack off before we get it right. Right? There's always this wiggle room where I'm just going to get everything set in order and then I'm going to be all right. But in reality of it all, I'm dealing with seconds. How many more seconds do I got to make this right? If it's tonight, if it's tomorrow morning, where am I going to go? Amen? But Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. A fig tree doesn't produce grapes. A grape tree don't produce figs. So if I look at my own life today, I got up at 5:30. My track history of everything that came out of my mouth, what I put my energy to, everything I got involved in, were those spiritual fruits today? Did Christ love come out of my mouth? What did I sow? You know, what did I plant? It said sowing and reaping is a kingdom principle. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. So that means whatever I put my energy into, whatever I speak into, whatever I focus on, whatever I put in front of me, I'm growing and harvesting and planting and receiving back. So if I've been negative all day today and I planted negativity all over the field, and those little negativities, some of them got planted, some of them got watered, some of them got harvested, what do I got coming now? Negativity. Amen? Right? And that's just a spiritual principle in that I got to control my mindset. That when that alarm clock goes off, the very, very first thing we did, what we talked about last week, the power of praise. There's power in praise. I mean, we have rough days. We got rough situations. We're all going through things from time to time. Sometimes our mentalities can get stuck in a rut where I hate the alarm clock. I hate the car. I hate this ride. I hate this job. I hate this place. Hate where I'm staying at. Hate the bed. Right? And all of a sudden, all this hate controls all this frustration, controls all these outcomes of all these days, and everything sucks. Right? But there's power in praise. And I can tell you now that when the alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, if you don't have an alarm clock, God bless you. You're lucky. I'm jealous. But when you get up, if you lay there before I move anything at all, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to say this. God, thank you for this bed. Thank you for this blanket. Thank you for this breakfast. Thank you for this ride. Thank you for this job. Thank you for these kids. Thank you for this relationship. Amen. Right? So I wake up and I think to myself, I'm just training myself already. Before my feet hit that carpet, I'm talking to God. Praise God. Praise God for this rough situation I'm dealing with. Praise God for this progress I made. Praise God for these solutions I'm looking for. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now all of a sudden my mindset is, what am I going to do today for God? Amen? So somebody cuts me off and I'm driving and I back away and nothing happens. I'm on God. Right? Replay that 3 weeks ago. I'm on frustration. Somebody cuts me off. I run them over, get in front of them, brake check them. Brake check them enough to see if they'll jump out. What's going to happen next? Right? And look at that scenario with a confrontation with my boss, confrontation with my friend, confrontation with my wife. If I'm set on negativity, you're going to get the full blunt of my negativity. But if I'm set on God, then I'm going to be patient. Amen? Do you see the difference? There's a difference in these two mentalities, and we can control the direction of them both. So remember Him. That's where we're at. Hebrews 10:26 says, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, insulted the Spirit of grace. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. The Lord will judge his people. And it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And here's one thing. A lot of us are kind of dead set on revenge in our own lives. If you do something to me, I'm going to do it to you, right? That's how we live. Eye for an eye. That's today's society. But that's not that. Now, Old Testament, most definitely so. Dispensation of grace today, not so much. What it is God saying that I have so much grace just for you. Can't you show this grace to someone else? Amen. And if you think about the creator of the heaven and the earth handling your battles out here, right? So let's say I implement my faith today. Let's say I'm dealing with a situation and I step back and I say, okay, God, I'm really going to let you handle this. I'm not going to get even this time. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I got to think to myself, he says, how much severe punishment do you think that he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, insulted the Spirit of grace? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. The Lord will judge his people. And it is a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Do you think that you could do more to someone than God can?
No.
Right? Right? Obviously, I'm this big and God is that big. And if he's going to handle it, then I can let it go. But if I've offended God 653,531 times and this person's offended me once, don't you think I can cut them some slack? Because that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'll handle that. Amen. And if God has an opportunity to work in their life and turn their life and bring love into their life, they wouldn't have brought that to you anyway. Amen. Because if they were walking in God, that situation wouldn't occur. So we pray for that situation. We let God handle that situation. If that silver cord is cut and they're on that road, then that's what they earned. Amen. But if you're peace and patient, you show them another verse that you may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. So let me say that I bring this negativity to you and you show me the love of God that it might shock me. What if I seen something different out of you, that I witnessed that love of God come out of you, and now all of a sudden you're giving me new beginnings, you're giving me second chances where I never had none, now it's going to bother me. I'm going to wonder, why didn't he hit me? Why didn't he get me? He should have got me. I got him, he should have got me. Why didn't that happen? Oh, he walks a different walk. He talks a different talk. Right? He's in Jesus. That man's got it together. I can't get him off his game. And sometimes, just pure haterism, they're going to try to get you anyway. They're just going to get you just for the sheer fact that you're making progress. But praise God for that, because that means what you're doing is visible. Amen? That means your progress is visible. That's something to be thankful for. Just keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. So one factor of God being a great God that gives us new beginnings, us second chances, is the fact that I have to be mindful to give everyone else new beginnings and second chances. Check this out. Ezekiel 18 is one of my favorite verses. He says, it's cut and dry. He says, when a righteous man turns and commits wickedness, for his wickedness he will die. When a wicked man turns to righteousness, for his righteousness and consideration he will live, each according to his conduct. Repent, cast away the sin, create a new heart, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live. And here's where God's at with it. He's saying that when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits and accepts wickedness and lives in wickedness, for his wickedness he will die. So that right now, with free will, I can turn away from all of this and walk down that road and say, God, you keep it, I'm off. Right? And continue on in my wickedness to do whatever that is. But wickedness doesn't quite sound right. Doesn't sound good enough, right? We're going to break that down. What is wickedness? What is wickedness to me is different than wickedness to you. Some of us struggle with pornography, violence, backbiting, drugs, all different kinds of things. that we allow. Now, what I don't want to do is discount progressive measurable outcomes, because there comes a day where Jesus said, come all ye that are weary and I will give you rest. So you say, everybody come to me and we'll work together. Amen. So if I come to God with a mentality of where I'm suffering in addiction, suffering in violence, suffering in all the tremendous amounts of things that I had when I brought my luggage with me, amen, He's going to work with me every day. And one day I'm going to wake up and say, well, now I don't need this violence anymore. Another day I'm going to wake up and say, I don't need that bottle anymore. Another day I'm going to wake up and then my relationships are restored. Amen. That's progressive measurable outcomes. But if I'm walking in my faith and I trade that in for just sin and say, this is where I'm going, I'm going to throw it away. There's two directions here. But the one I really want to focus on is God being a God of compassion and new beginnings. He says, when a wicked man considers his wickedness and turns to righteousness for his consideration, he will be saved. That's powerful. That's powerful telling me right now, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, if you turn to the light of the Lord and accept Jesus Christ in your life, you can be saved. Amen. That is powerful. That means you don't need that guilt anymore. You don't need that baggage. We don't have to pay for baggage no more. God's got all that. Amen. We put it together. He says, repent. How do I repent? It's another way, word for repent is turn away from, another one, cast away from. But to repent is actually to feel compassion or pain for wrong suffered. You know, and that's just it. So I come to the mentality today that when I make a mistake, I take it seriously. Amen. When I backtrack, I take it seriously. It's a warning. It's a sign. It's a trigger. It's something I should be paying attention to. Because if I got a clean walk, a lot of us can make this same problem where we make really good progress and then something small comes along. We get tied off in that little small something. And then that small something has three babies. Now we got a whole family next to us of things that we can't control anymore. Right? And we wake up and we say, How did I get here? And it was just shaving off those litty bitty bits of integrity that God is putting back in my heart. It's God stuffing that integrity, stuffing that goodwill, stuffing that love in my heart. And I'm walking in life and I'm choosing life instead of God and I'm shaving it back off. And then eventually I wake up, I say, how did I get here? Can anybody relate to that? Does that make sense? Because in reality, nobody goes from running good to absolutely off pace. Doesn't happen that way. I mean, things happen, but not like that. They happen in teeny little things. There's a girlfriend over here. There's a temptation over there. There's something over here. There's not enough time for church on Sunday. There's too much TV going on for me to read my Bible tonight. There's little tiny things to make me weak and get me set up for that offering, for that special treat, you know, that He's going to bring in so beautiful to pull me away from my faith. Because when I start walking the walk, I'm on His radar. Amen. When I wasn't walking the walk, I wasn't on His radar. It didn't matter. He had me. But now that you're walking the walk, best believe I got my targets on you. I'm sending girls. I'm sending money. I'm sending temptations. I'm sending the grass is greener on the side of the fence. I'm sending, you know what I mean? Self-esteem, confidence issues. I'm sending all that. I'll make some of it look pretty. I'll make some of it look unavoidable. I'll make some of it look unachievable. I'm going to get you off your game because I want you back. You can't go for me. Amen. Think about that. But He says, repent, turn away from that, create the new heart, new spirit, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live. Amen. So I just think that it's amazing for us to sit back and think of how patient God really is. Gonzalez, where's the verse at where He says, His mercy restores fresh every morning with the dew? I couldn't find it earlier. I was looking for it. But what He says is just like when we wake up and there's that little bit of frost on everything. See the little bit of water and the moisture from the dew point dropping? Water on the leaves, water on the grass, water on your windshield. You see it? Yes or no? As sure as you see that on your windshield and on them flowers and all them things, so has God's grace renewed. He said, God's grace renews every single morning. And that grace is something that we all need. Amen.